Well, thanks for bringing that Nina thing up, by the way. Do you have a like a thing RSS that tells you when new stuff goes on there, or you just go on and check what's going on?
I just go on there. Okay. Check it out.
All right.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
I could either do this or I could be working. Let me just check everything on the internet first.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Edrick.
Hi, everyone. I've also welcomed everyone. Listen, this doesn't make sense. Hold it. I'm Ian Boothby. You welcome half the people. I'll welcome the other half. So you start again.
All right. Hi, everyone. Half of you are welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Edrick.
And I'd like to say hello to the other half. My name is Ian Boothby.
And who are you again? Yeah, I feel like we haven't seen each other for 2 weeks. It's so off.
Oh,
it's
so many things have happened in the world. I think a new iPhone's come out.
I think you're right.
I think, yeah, so many things have come out in the world.
And it's a nice phone, that new iPhone.
Oh, how so?
It has an interesting... Mary was getting a new phone. She did not get the newest iPhone because that costs $400.
Right.
So she got the step down from that, the older one, which
is
fine.
It costs $399.
basically, no, it costs less than that. I won't say how much it costs, but it costs less. But because phones are more expensive now that it's a 2-year plan.
Okay.
You have to pay more for your phone and more for your plan.
I'm going to tell you, Pia takes care of all that stuff. It makes no sense to me. I don't know. All of a sudden, like, my phone goes, hey, you've used up all your data. Stop it. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll stop talking now then. That's all I understand. And then, you know, there's a general bill, you know, fund for bills, household bills.
Yeah.
I throw my money in that pile in the middle of the room and just go, I'll take care of the ones I understand.
Yeah.
And she takes care of that.
You take care of the cable bill.
Basically, yeah.
That's your job.
Yeah, cable bill. I used to take care of the hydro bill, but I don't understand that one now because we got a house, so I don't know.
Yeah.
That was like gas and hydro. What's the deal? I don't know.
Three-tiered.
Oh, crazy. And yeah, who knows? So, but okay, so she got herself a phone?
Yeah, she bought it, but we were looking at the new 6S. I think that's the new one, right? The 6S?
Yep.
And it has,
and you know what? Mm. It leads to success.
Success. Okay. And if you press, if you press down on the phone, or say you press down on like the message icon.
Right. It will smash the screen. It will smash the screen. You'll have to get a new one.
Because you shouldn't have done that. Don't press on the screen.
Yeah.
What are you thinking of? It'll pop up with a bunch of your contacts, so you can just slide up and select them.
Yeah, it's got
them.
That pressure sensitive.
It's
technology
a nice.
Now.
It's well. I mean, don't they all? That's what a screen is. A touch screen, isn't it?
No, it's well.
It has more than that. You're saying.
Well, you push you push on your screen. It doesn't push down.
Oh, I see. If you hold your finger there, it's more. It's sensitive.
Yeah,
to that
usually
kind of,
we'll do like a double tap,
sure.
But not a push.
Yeah, I got you.
So now we're getting into that Videodrome world. If you can just insert your finger into your phone
into
at some point.
A vulva in the side of your body.
Okay, sure, all right. The new Volvo S.
I drive a Volvo.
Leads to Volvo S.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not a word at all. Sorry about that. Continue with your story about the phone.
No, that's fine. I'm done. I just thought it was nice. I thought that was a nice feature.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there's other great features, but I don't have the phone.
Nope, so. That's the only one.
That's all? That's all they invented?
Apparently, Siri's smarter now. She understands more stuff.
Oh, okay.
She apologizes for all the stuff she didn't know mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. and that's about it.
I think Siri seems great. On my phone, I have Android, and I don't think they've really perfected the voice thing.
Right.
You know, like it takes me 15
minutes.
Well,
it's always telling you, why can't I feel love? You know, poor little Android.
Okay. Okay, I'm leaving the store.
All right.
The store's about 5 minutes from my house, maybe 10 minutes from my house.
Okay. Now, you were working, last time I heard you were working part-time at a Five and Dime, and your boss was Mr. McGee.
It's true.
Okay.
Bobby McGee?
No, boss was Mr. McGee. Do you think Mr. McGee was Bobby McGee?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And he grew up and got a store and then hired Prince?
That's right.
Wow, this all ties together.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what Prince was going for.
Well, that's good enough for him and Prince. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
I'm driving home wearing my raspberry beret. And I decide, you know what, I should make sure I let the kids know that I'm coming home and, you know, not to eat without me, let's say.
Right.
So I say to my phone, I have to say, hello, Moto X. Now my phone's going to turn on, but no, it won't. It only turns on. It's so weird. Anyway, I won't get into that. Well, I will. What's weird is if I say something like, do you want some bacon and eggs? My phone will turn on. But if I say the actual like thing I'm supposed to say, which is hello, Moto X, to get it to turn on, it does not turn on.
Okay.
It just remains this obnoxiously black
screen. So you're saying the phone likes bacon and eggs.
It loves bacon and eggs.
Break it.
Or
breakfast.
If I said X marks the spot, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
But if I go, hello, Moto X, meaning for it to turn on. It just this obnoxious black screen stares at me.
You don't sound like a person when you say that.
And I'm driving.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, hello, Moto X. Hello. And it won't turn on. Mm-hmm. You know, and I finally get to it. Then I try to get it to call. But then, of course, I hesitate because I'm not sure that it's turned on. And so then it goes to some sort of help screen. So then I have to switch it off again.
Right.
And then start the whole process. And I've driven to the driveway and I shouldn't have even bothered.
Right. And they're all full and they've eaten all their food. They're already done. And your food.
They're like, I was bringing lunch home. Oh, well. I'll have it all myself.
Papa was so full. It feels like we're heading towards Jack Kirby's future that he predicted, where people will have a mother box. That'll be the final thing. It'll just be like, are you familiar with the mother box? Yeah. For those of you that don't know, mother box in the New Gods comics was just as a device that could do anything. Yes. And it would just go ping, ping, as, you know, you ping with a phone. That's the thing that a phone does. And it would do everything. And now I think we are developing our own mother boxes. What we need now is to make, you know, just make the mother connection with them. Make it a family member. I think that's the whatever phone company decides to go, it's a member of the family, mm-hmm. is going to now win whatever the phone wars.
Okay.
Because here's what you got. You got like your robot Siri lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your Android. We're now all trying to get fancy robots. We don't need that. You want like a family member.
Aren't there fancier robots than just our phones though that do... Aren't they developing?
Tell me more about these fancy robots.
Don't they have ones that can actually like walk around now?
Yeah, that's
walk in the woods.
Yeah, is that fancy?
That is very fancy.
What's fancy about that?
The fact that they can make it so that it can balance itself to walk on two legs.
Yeah, but we can do that.
Yes, we can. That's pretty incredible that we take it for granted.
Understood.
Because we're doing all this complicated balancing while we're walking.
I don't think we find things as impressive if we can do them. Like, if your phone could go for a swim, you'd go like, yeah. So can I. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that's great. Good job, phone.
Yeah.
But I can't say, you know, what are all the... Well, you could go, what are all the Beatles songs ever written? And phone would go... Here.
I couldn't
there
do
it.
There
it is.
I couldn't do that. No one could do that.
You know, who's that actor? This one. And here's all the films they did. It can do all that stuff. That's fancy. You know, but, you know, going for a walk in the woods, hobos do that. And hobos are as far from fancy as you can get. Argument one. You know who helped me with that argument?
What if they're wearing a tie?
Siri. I said, Siri, win this argument. And she gave me that hobo fancy in the woods argument. Thank you, Siri.
Thank you. For that argument.
I think in the future, Siri will be relegated to the same place that Teddy Ruxpin was. All these past computer voices.
She is the Furby of this time period.
Yeah. It went Ruxpin, Furby, Siri.
Yeah. I'm sure that your phone's the same. My phone, it insists that my wife's name is Leza. So if I say, call Lisa Williamson on her cell, it'll go, calling Leza Williamson.
I think you're probably able to correct that.
I don't. How? What do you do?
You know who you should ask? Your phone.
How do you make you pronounce things properly?
Right.
I am pronouncing it properly, Dave. How do you know my name?
Because, you know.
Does your phone say your name?
Computers have known names since Kubrick's 2001.
That's true. Hell has
especially
known that.
No, it has known Dave's.
Yeah.
Dave's and computers go together remarkably well. Listen, I'm gonna throw a little spoiler in right now.
For
a video game I'm playing.
Okay.
So I apologize for those of you that might
What's
be
the game?
The game is Lego Dimensions.
Okay.
All right.
How long is this going to take? Should they fast forward 30 seconds?
Oh, that's a good point. Fast forward 3 minutes. Here we go.
It's going to take 3 minutes to spoil a game?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Because we're going to have a little back and forth about it, maybe, on.
Okay.
We banter. Ready, everybody? Lego Dimensions, 3 minutes, go forward. Okay, here's the thing. Okay. There's a level in there that's based on Portal, which is one of my favorite games. Mm-hmm. And the villain in there is GLaDOS, who is an artificial intelligence who leads you through a series of tests and tries to kill you.
So in the Lego one or in Portal?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the same character from that has now been put into the Lego Dimensions game. So you're Batman and Gandalf, and you're fighting against... GLaDOS, and she runs through some puzzles.
Are Batman and Gandalf in the original Portal game?
Oh, of course they are not.
Oh, okay.
No. It's a woman named Chell who is going, I'm trying to do this within 3 minutes, who does all these tests and blah, blah. Anyway, it's a fantastic game. If you've never played Portal, it's one of the best games ever. Portal 2, astounding. One of my favorite games. But it's got a great backstory about this artificial intelligence, and she's sarcastic and all these kind of things. So in the game, mm-hmm. in the final boss level with her, you open a dimensional portal, a portal and portal, and out comes Hal from 2001. And
how do you out he comes? Because really, he's just part of a spaceship.
Right. He was.
Is he walking around now?
He was in. Well, there's.
Does he come sliding in?
No, there's a discussion about that. Because
his legs.
I was in space, and now okay. I'm here. He doesn't understand why he's there.
Is he played by Douglas Rain, the original voice of?
I don't know that either. But
who did the voice of Hinterland? Who's who?
That's good trivia. Tell me about that after the 3 minute mark.
I just told you.
No, tell me more later. But what happens is the two of them then have a little discussion, and it's like the two corrupted artificial intelligence, who end up trying to kill people have a talk, and they're both getting very annoyed with each other because he thinks she's Dave and I'm not Dave and this, and they're going back and forth, and it's a great little bit of banter, and it was just freaking delightful. Meanwhile, Batman's like, well, they're distracted, let's get them, and they have to go and do something, and Gandalf's like, I will do this thing, and they do all their business and stuff happens. End of 3 minute mark, and we're back. Now, Dave, you mentioned Hinterland's Who's Who. I think we've
talked about this before, so this is going way back, but in our past history of these shows.
I never mind
that. Let's assume that some people have not listened to all 200 episodes of this program.
Right, and look, if you listen to Mark Maron's podcast, you're going to hear a story about meeting Lorne Michaels over and over again. You're going to hear these things.
Once per show, he'll tell that story.
He'll tell that story, and people are fine with that. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. Don't worry about that. So Hinterland's Who's Who used to be a show that was on CBC. Not CBC, but it would be...
I think it was CBC.
Was it only CBC that we were on?
I mean, I don't think it was made by CBC. It was produced by the Government of Canada.
Right.
To inform us about different animals.
That animals exist.
That animals exist in Canada. And who are they?
Right.
So it'd be like the muskox, and it would give us a little bit of information about the muskox. And if you wanted to know more, you could write to them at Station C.
Right.
You know... Department something or other, there's some post office in Toronto.
Yeah, or Muskox Division.
The Muskox Division. Or if you want to know more, the beaver or whatever they're talking about, the Canadian goose.
What would they do? Would they call you then and go, what do you want to know?
Yeah, there'd be a guy, Louis, would call you
up. Who wants to know?
What? What do you want to know?
We want to know about the
Muskox.
The Muskox.
Yeah.
Muskox. Now, they must send
it's
you
got a, four legs.
Yeah, they must have a pamphlet or something.
They would send you a pamphlet.
I wonder if online they have all those pamphlets. It would assume that's the kind of thing like someone
that
would...
That you would do now.
That you would... Well, yeah. It was basically Wikipedia of its day was, write us a letter and Wikipedia will send you the information you want to know, but only about specific things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder if someone has collected those.
I'm sure they did, but the conservatives shut it down.
We're almost at an election, and it's getting intense right now. Signs are going up. Signs are coming down. People are saying you should strategically vote. People are saying that you should bring a game of Stratego to the voting center and play it and distract people with it, and then they won't vote, but only people that you think will vote for people you don't like. So bring Stratego with you.
Bring Stratego and be the bomb piece.
Do you like that?
I enjoyed Stratego. It was a fun game.
Yeah. And when you do that, you go, I'm the bomb.
Because that's where the expression came from.
Yeah.
From Stratego, obviously.
My dad...
Very popular with black ghetto youth in the 70s.
Is that right?
Stratego.
My dad got me a game of Admirals, which I think was exactly the same game. But he was really intent about like us playing that a lot. So we did.
Yeah.
Very similar game.
Did he win a lot?
Probably.
Might have been just...
Take me down a couple of notches
maybe,
and I'm aging.
Maybe. I don't know.
See his little facial hair coming on me. Better take the young man down a step.
Sure, sure.
I don't know if that was true or not.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
He wouldn't let you play bridge, so maybe he was. Maybe that was an ego save.
I did. Speaking of my past, everyone, please take a drink because the rules of the show are. If you're new to the show, maybe you've just joined us after our 200th episode and go, what's the regular shows like? Do you regularly do comedy sketches and have all these little pilots? No.
Sorry to disappoint
Settle
you.
Down. That was party time. Right. We may do more of those in the future.
It was fun.
It was. It was a really good time. Thank you again to everyone who came, so who listened, who commented, everyone all the way around. But I did a show... The drinking rules. If a siren goes by, because we do our show in the middle of the road in Vancouver,
take a drink.
Yep. If we discuss our past, like as our childhoods, please take a drink.
Take a drink.
If Dave talks about either the Beatles or Tintin, you have to eat a sandwich, a complete sandwich.
That seems pretty unfair to people.
Okay.
Because that's pretty common.
Right.
I don't know if Tintin's as common as the Beatles.
Oh, Dave just mentioned Tintin. Everyone, eat a sandwich.
I mentioned them both. You have to eat two sandwiches.
All right. So I was doing a show called Teen Angst Karaoke.
Okay.
And it was Sarah Bino was hosting the show. We should probably have her on our show sometime. And what she normally does.
Maybe she doesn't want to come on it.
Oh yeah, who would want to?
Mm.
I mean, I'm kind of.
I'm a little ambivalent too. Yeah.
You know what? Let's just fuck off. Let's not do this.
Retire now.
Yeah. You know what? We had that 200.
Yeah.
Leave on top. Why not?
That's right. Leave on top.
Yeah.
We'll leave in the middle, really.
All right. So, her original Teen Angst show is basically you read something that you wrote when you were a teenager. Maybe a journal entry, maybe some poetry, maybe something somewhat embarrassing. You can tell us backstory.
Wow.
So the idea behind this was you tell a story from your teen years.
Do you have anything like that?
Do I have? No, but I can tell you why I don't, because that was the basis of my thing I did.
Okay.
But this one, you tell a story and then you play a song that connects in some way to that story.
Oh.
And you have to sing that song, karaoke style, but the audience sings with you for the most part.
Okay.
So they're all game, except...
Because everyone knows the songs of that time period?
Oh, no, they don't, because it was a younger audience. They didn't know I Don't Like Mondays, so which is what I sang. But they
tell me why.
They got it, because it's such a repetitive song that I...
It sure is.
So anyway, the reason that I did not have anything to present was because when I was 13, 14, I would write constantly, but then I would take my stuff and I would bring it to the CBC and slip it under the doors, as we've talked about in the past.
So your teen angst poetry, you would... put underneath it.
I would not write poetry.
Why doesn't she love me?
No, I was not a poet. I was a sketch writer, so I would put the sketches under the door. But
black blood dripping down.
Something I've forgotten about was the show that I was working on was Switchback. And in the first year of the show, what they did was, the concept was, it was a trading post kind of thing for kids.
Yep.
So if you had a video game and you want to trade it for some comic books, they would put you in touch with the other kid. And the way they did that was a newsletter. And so you would say, I want this, and I've got this. And what they would do is they'd publish this big newsletter full of children's names, their ages, their phone numbers, their addresses, plus, if you can see clearly, the kind of thing they like and are really interested in. And they would take these and they would mail them to anyone who asked for it. Thanks, CBC. And then year two, I believe the police went, don't do that anymore. And they changed the format a bit. And that's kind of when I came on board.
Okay.
But yeah, I totally forgotten that. And I was like, oh, I think I've got some of those still. But yeah, can you imagine like how different a time it was? Yes. It was just like, yeah. You know, sure. Why not call each other up? Why not? There you go. Here's
the addresses. You're right. How different a time it was that people wouldn't make that next step in their mind to like, someone could really use this for nefarious practices. But they wouldn't think that at all. They would be like, why? They wouldn't even think, why would someone do that? They would.
Oh, Davey Dedrick really likes baseball cards.
Yeah.
Ring, 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 ring. Hello. Hi. We're the baseball card store. And David, you've just won a contest. What? Yeah, just come to the middle of the woods.
That's right. Come on down to Shady Lane.
Hank Aaron baseball card that you've won. Now, the rules of this contest are you've got to come alone. So we'll see you.
And don't tell your parents.
No,
you tell your parents. The contest is null and void.
That's right.
Ugh, plan all your greed.
Absolutely.
And need and want.
Yep.
And then, ouch.
Yep. And of course, nothing happened with that at all. It was fine. But still, it was, just what a different time.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, and the reason I sang I Don't Like Mondays was because Bob Geldof hosted the show twice.
Oh.
And so...
Well, he did live here for a while. He actually edited the Georgia Strait.
That is why he was here. Hmm. Though it's weird because it was already... I Don't Like Mondays was already a hit song he'd had in the UK, which seems weird that he would like... You've got a number one... And it was a number one song in the UK. And then, oh, you're moving to North America. And now you're editing a newspaper, a local... Right?
He didn't do it for super long.
Yeah.
I think he was kind of like... I think he kind of felt like he'd run out his string in England and just needed a change.
Sure.
And sort of like went across the world.
Part of that change was hosting a children's television show. So when he came here, he brought a videotape of
his song.
Right. And CBC.
In those days, the videotape was like the size of a suitcase.
Absolutely.
So he really.
Enormous. Well, this kind of pertains to why they played it every other week, if not every week, which was because they had it. And CBC. For all the people talk about the CBC, the one thing that's very consistent about the CBC, for as long as I've known it, they are lazy. They will take the path of least resistance.
Yes.
If someone presents them with something, they will probably use it. I was a 13-year-old boy writing comedy sketches. They used them. Yeah. Why? Oh, because we want to encourage the youth. No, because they're lazy and it's there and it's written already. Fuck, let's do it. So let's do it. There you go. And so they had the tape or the video, and they played it constantly on the show, constantly. Mm. And it was, it's a song about, a school shooting. And it was like a show for, fairly young kids.
Sure.
And, but then again, they played inappropriate videos all the time on that show.
I'm sure they did.
There was one for Doug and the Slugs.
Yep.
It was
Which one?
Making It Work.
Okay.
And Making It Work, the idea behind it was, premise behind this video was, Doug can't get it up in bed.
Oh.
So.
That's probably the premise of the song.
Who knows?
I've never listened to the lyrics, of course, because I'm not a lyric person. But
okay, it's Making It Work.
Let us know, people.
It's a little harder. Making It Work takes a little bit of time. Making It Work, something, something.
He had a drinking problem.
Yep. He's no longer with us. So, but the video remains.
That's a fact. That's not a made-up thing. It's true.
Talk about that.
So we can take a step from that
to say that's possible the reason your Wang
didn't chung.
Okay. So it starts off with him in bed and the woman in bed is very pretty.
Yeah.
Way out of his league. And doing the humph, upset. And then she's reading a romance novel and she's upset. And then all the slugs show up in a sex therapy van. And they come in and they're all doing a little dance. And I believe they're bringing a giant needle to get his stuff working.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was in a show for kids. And finally, his pecker works and gets some action, and everything's great.
Well, it kind of sounds at the level sort of Benny Hill-ish. So,
oh, it was.
That sounds kind of harmless to me as far as kids go.
Fair enough.
You know,
I remember there was also they played Allentown, the Billy Joel song, which has a lot of ass in it.
I think you're mistaking that for Billy Joel, because Billy Joel is. Does kind of look like an ass.
No, there was actual gentleman showering, and there was a lot of.
Why
blood.
Would that be in it? Isn't it about like a town getting closed down because the factory is
mining town?
It's a mining
Guess
town.
Guess what the miners have to do after their coaling is a shower. So there was that's an interesting amount of nudity in Allentown. The video.
Don't bend over to pick up the coal.
Have you ever seen the movie? What's the Steve Gutenberg one with? Village People. Can't Stop the Music.
Can't Stop the Music. I have never seen all of that film.
Here's the thing about that movie. Speaking of nudity, and what are you thinking?
Because it has a rather comely lass in the film.
Sure. Speaking of that, she's in a musical
it's
number.
It's Bernadette Peters, isn't it?
No, it's not Bernadette Peters. No. It's someone else that you go, oh, her. I think she's the woman from Vacation. I think she's the wife in Vacation.
Oh, and Angela, no.
Angela Beverly, Lansbury, you're right.
Beverly.
D'Angelo.
D'Angelo.
Okay. So, all right.
I had to search, go through the names. I started at A, went to B.
Right.
If it wasn't Beverly, it could have been Camilla.
This movie has a lot of the hits that they've done.
SPCA.
That's right. It's fun to get spayed at the...
Okay,
so they're doing the video for YMCA in the movie.
Yeah.
And the idea behind it is she's at the YMCA.
Did they do In Old Navy?
Okay, we're going to get to this. All right, we're all having fun, but let me get through this story first.
Sure.
So it's a lot of like her in a hot tub with a bunch of naked guys, and then her showering with a bunch of naked guys, and her, what's going on? Okay, but in the video, in the movie, that's not an R-rated movie.
No.
There's clear erections in the shower. Like, full on, here you go, what's all this about? Wah? And you think, like, oh, this was a bit of a mistake. Someone must have, this is an error. They didn't mean this. But it's like, it's the song. It's the song. And it's like Boner Town. It's like, how is this a thing and not an R-rated movie? This is like a PG movie.
Well,
I could go to this movie as a kid. No problem.
PG.
Not PG-13, because that didn't exist.
No. But was it rated lower than Stripes then?
Well, that's a good question. I think Stripes was R, wasn't it?
No, Stripes was mature.
Okay.
Like, I could see Stripes.
All right.
So it was just some boobs.
How many erections were in Stripes?
No, but there's lots of
that's
breasts.
The point. Yeah.
But they weren't showing penetration. They're just showing some boners.
Name a movie that's got a boner in it.
I don't know.
Exactly, because it's different, isn't it?
It might have been there, and you just didn't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You're distracted by
Beverly
D'Angelo.
Right, I might have been watching Excalibur and something.
That's
right. And you go, oh, that wasn't Excalibur. My mistake.
Excalibur. Yeah, that's right. Oh, man, that film. This killed me when I was a kid. So bad. Oh, because there's a scene in the film where Arthur has sex with, I guess it's Guinevere.
By the way, I've got nothing against erections. I just think in a movie of that, you know, because, you know
what? Of that ilk?
Listen, I used to be Doug from Doug and the Slugs, and I used to have some problems. So,
before you made your Chinatown connection.
Guys. Okay, yeah. But please continue with how Excalibur made you sad.
He was a graphic designer before he became a Doug.
Okay. He was very insulting to me in a video game. Wait, I'm confusing him with Super Mario.
Yeah.
No, he was very insulting to me once when I was on a game show pilot with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you didn't play up to his par?
It was a sort of I've got a secret type thing, and you've got to like ask questions. Okay. The celebrity asks questions.
So is it bigger than a bread box?
Basically.
Okay.
And my thing was about a job I had.
Okay.
And he asked, and his questions were basically this, because I had long hair at the time, and he went, "Is it about your ponytail?" It's like, "Nope, it's not about my ponytail." "Is it about you being so fat?" "No, it's not about that." Now, here's the thing. And there was a third thing, and I forget what it was. But.
How long ago was this?
But, let me just say this. At the time,
yeah,
way fatter than me.
Yes.
Way worse hair than me.
Okay.
And the audience, because I had also been working as the warm-up comic for the show, was 100% on my side.
Oh, dear.
They loved me. I'd been giving them, like, treats. I'd been giving them prizes. I'd been making them laugh for, like, about an hour before this asshole comes out and starts tearing me a new one. And so I'm just sitting there smiling, just like, "Hey, how you doing?" And he's getting nothing. So he's getting meaner. And it's nothing at all. He's just eating it fucking raw. Anyway. Back to Excalibur.
That's great. There's just a scene in the film where King Arthur has sex with Guinevere, and he's wearing a full suit of armor, which just killed me. Because how could you talk about problems getting it up? Man, talk about how about killing someone, like crushing them to death underneath your
suit of armor. So did he have, like,
armor? The full suit of armor on.
Okay, but so is there, like, a flap so that he can, like...
I guess he had a cod piece that was removable. He's able to do the action. I don't know. It's ridiculous all around in every which way.
Right.
It's a terrible film as well, by the way.
I think I remember seeing it. It was one of those films that probably we rented with the family.
Oh, and you would have had to.
And then went, whoops.
After you spent an hour in the video store, everyone looking at boxes, trying to decide, because such an important decision. Don't want to make a mistake.
Yep.
Don't want to end up with...
Maybe we can rent two. Oh. Two maximum.
Okay, guys.
Maximum.
We have to get SOB. Who wants to go? Oh,
I hear
so
it's
many
a good
films.
Comedy. You want to see Julia
Andrews? Possibly her boobs. It could also just be prosthetics. You don't know, because they're shown in such a way that you could easily just hide them.
Anyway, please enjoy the comedy of Richard Mulligan.
A lot of it.
Yep.
And a poor William Holden, who's wondering, why am I in this film? What did I do?
You're right, though.
Guys, I was in Still Like 17. Huck, what? Help.
Yeah, that was a bad wander around the store, and then it was a lot of negotiating.
Oh, so much. Because, you know, and then you often, when we started renting films, we would also rent the machine. We didn't own a VCR. So you'd rent the VCR, then you'd get like four films. Mm-hmm. One of them, of course, was Beastmaster.
Yep.
Then you'd take them home.
Yep.
You'd watch them until you were sick.
Dragon Slayer.
You couldn't stand another minute of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then ones that you got were like, they seemed cool. Like, how about Pink Floyd live at Pompeii? Sounds cool, right? Nope.
Why wasn't that cool?
Because Pink Floyd is really boring. Of course. It's just them playing their music, standing in a kind of an old amphitheater.
Right.
That's just the ruins of an amphitheater, them playing. And then intercut with some interesting stuff, which is them doing Dark Side of the Moon. So that's kind of interesting. But then you cut back to them doing very long songs standing in a...
I think we might like invest in that copy of E.T. for $100. Because here's the thing. Once you've got it, you can watch E.T. anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, Dave, I don't think you understand. You don't have to get in line for E.T. anymore.
Sure.
I know you've gone in line for E.T. many times.
So many.
What I'm saying is, you will... Let me just lay this out for you. You're going to own E.T.
Okay.
So that means...
Yeah.
If you want to watch it twice in a row,
mm-hmm.
knock yourself out.
You sure can.
If you want to just move to the scene where the kid calls his brother penis breath, that's you're there. Mm-hmm. It's good. I think there's some more swearing in there too.
I can't remember.
But yeah.
To be honest with you, I saw that film once in the theater.
That was good value. Like, we were just like, yeah. Only $100 for E.T.?
I don't think that... Were you sure there was that much for her film?
Yes.
I mean, I know it was expensive for the video stores.
Yes, $100 for E.T. I do remember that.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. And it was a good deal.
Seems a bit much.
Yeah. That's one thing we kind of forget with the cost of things is like... with video games too. It's like it went from Atari, which was fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
Fairly reasonable. I don't know, like $200 maybe for a machine, something such. Then they got into the higher end machines that were like $600 and like $700.
Like in television.
Well, no, I'm going beyond this. I'm going to like I don't even know that the like
Neo, I think in television was
Neo
that much.
Geos and stuff. And it was
I don't remember.
And all of these were failed systems then.
Yeah.
So you buy your three games that each cost you like $70.
Yeah.
And then So Long, Charlie. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
You got some weird vector graphics bullshit that you can try. I don't know. Who is this? Is that Mario? Nope. Looks like three sailboats trying to have sex with each other. What is this? A space battle?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. But it's the cutting edge, man. Ugh. So much money wasted before the PlayStation came out and just went, everyone, settle down. We're all going to just have this system.
We had ColecoVision, which I feel like was a pretty... was a pretty good one. Like, I think my parents...
That's at the tail end of, like, my Atari, Atari, and television.
Yeah, we had Atari. We had Atari.
Yeah, and then it went television, and then, which was the one step up. Then ColecoVision, you went, shit, that is good Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
That is some good Zaxxon.
And Duck Hunt was pretty
good,
too. That
is some good Smurfs.
I don't remember that. I think all I played was Donkey Kong. We didn't really have very many games because my parents were like, hey, here's your thing for Christmas. And then the rest of it was like, where's the money? Who has money to buy games? None of us. We just used what came with it.
You know what you should do? There's a show called Switchback. What you do, say you want video games, give them your phone number, go to this back alley. Sure. There's a gentleman there. He will supply you with any video games you want.
They'll just call up and...
If you don't mind blowing on the cartridges, then you won't mind what you have to do to get to the new cartridges.
How much do you want, Duck Hunt?
Yeah. What did you just call it?
Duck Hunt.
Sure, that's what you call it.
What's it called, wasn't
it? Well, anyway, there's something that sounds a lot like that you're going to have to do to get it.
we won a trip to Disney World.
When?
A couple weeks ago, they phoned.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. God damn it. You and your fucking landline. Stop it. You know what? We should just have a podcast called Tales of the Landline.
Yeah.
And it's all you getting scams and surveys.
Yeah. I think that's what all
you're the call. You're the guy who's we telling everybody who scams? Everyone's going to vote for.
We get in the scams. Election. We get
fucking landline.
I don't do the surveys. Especially scams?
You say, I got to hang up. I got a scam coming in.
Yeah, scams, surveys, and then people calling to see if we have clothes to donate.
Uh-huh.
Those are the three phone calls that I answer.
Yeah, and then elderly people going, do these still exist? I'm like, yes, they do. Yay! Hang up.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear a dial tone.
It was going
to
cost us for two people.
Okay, all right. So wait, you're at home? Ring, ring, pick up. Home.
Here's the thing.
Hello, sir.
I was up late the night before working on something, and so I was sleeping in. Right. So it was approaching 10.
We know you're making meth now.
That's true enough.
Listen, you and I are both going through some tough times right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're working on the meth lab. Mm-hmm. I'm working on I can't even say what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
I wish I could think of the lyrics for Baby Blue by Bender. I can't, though. So then, and I've heard that song a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't. I don't know the lyrics. So then, they call. Like, so the phone rings, and then I sound like Tom Waits on the phone. Like, I'm just like, you know, hello, you know. And then the lady's like, oh well, hi. I'm just calling to let you know that it's actually I didn't win. It's actually Mary who won. She somehow won this draw. She won a trip to Orlando.
Okay.
2 week. I think it was a 2 week trip. We would stay at a resort beside the park, and then we also got a cruise to the Bahamas on the Disney Cruise Lines as well.
Wow.
Pretty exciting.
It's great.
So it's for two people, but two more could travel free of charge. All it would cost us was $279 registration fee.
That's not free of charge, though. Do they know that? Know that it's not free of charge if they have to
pay that? It's just a registration fee.
What's that mean?
It's not... We have to register this.
Yeah, so what's that mean?
So you there's a fee.
Enter that into, there's a like, fee, yeah. Forms?
It's, you know, it costs a lot of money to register these things.
I don't know. I've filled out a lot of registration forms. I don't... You know, when I
have
get...
You figured, have you paid for, like, a dog license?
Well,
so that's just the same. It's the same thing. It's like strange. A registration fee.
See, I would have, but I don't have a dog.
Yeah. But if you did that,
that would put me on a watch list. See. If you're the kind of guy that fills out licenses for dogs that don't exist, you're just asking for a visit from the SPCA. Going, where's that dog? And like, it never existed. Oh, yeah, buddy. And then they go through your whole house.
Mm-hmm. That's right. On your switchback thing that you say, I like dogs. So if you've done that, then you know what a registration. So, you know, we just need a registration fee.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they had a version of the switchback thing. It was all just dogs.
It's just dogs. Yeah. Who did it?
You know what they called that? Mm. That was a rough trade.
So then, you know, obviously, once this starts going, I'm happy to play along with these calls because it's a lot of fun. And also, I sounded like I was...
Yeah, you were doing sort of fish trombones.
That's right. Sound like I just got off from doing rain dogs.
That's right.
And I was all, it's, hello. And then, this lady was doing the yes, right? She was getting the yes from me. Isn't that exciting? Aren't you glad? Doesn't it make you happy? You know, they're trying to get the yes rolling. So yes.
And you know when you were sold encyclopedias. Yes,
we would do the same thing.
Absolutely. You got to get the yeses.
Got to get the yeses rolling. And once people start yesing to you, you've got them in your grasp.
Then you ask them to marry you.
I have so many wives. And so then, she says, you know, this is, you know, that's fantastic. I'm just going to pass you through to my something or other account, you know, some guy who does the confirmation specialist.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But why do they pass you on? That's the weird part of it.
I do understand why they do that. Because you need people that can take the, shut up, I hate you, shut up, fuck off. You need a lot of meat on the floor to deal with that. Okay. But then once it gets to stage two, we can have less people.
Yeah.
And so it passes on to people who actually can deal with the deeper scam.
Okay.
You know, because the second guy, he can't take this shit.
No.
He's not taking this.
He's already done that. He's moved beyond it. He's gone up the ladder a step.
Yeah. He's on the next circle of hell.
He's in the next circle of hell. So this guy calling from the sixth circle says, is the sixth circle the worst or does it go up? Is it the first?
Well, there's seven.
There's seven circles of hell.
And the seventh one, that's where, that's Dees, D-I-S. I don't know how you pronounce it. But that's where the devil is. And, and Judas. And
okay.
A third guy, Steve. The devil, Judas, and Steve.
Steve.
And you're like, what's Steve doing here?
He doesn't know.
And Steve's like,
he went through a wrong door.
It was a clerical error.
I don't know. They said to go through this door, and I went through it, and then what the hell, man?
I'm part of the trilogy of freaking evil down here.
Evil Steve. I'm like, then they wanted to make it into one word. They wanted to call me Steve-el, and I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah, and I went like, are you confusing this with Even Stevens, and you think it's like Evil Stevens? Is that what it is? It's like, it's possible. We could have...
I'm the devil. I don't do puns.
We use the Gutenberg printing press, and sometimes things get mixed up. So sorry. Anyway, so it's the devil, it's Steve, and Judas.
Yeah, in the seventh. So this guy's in the sixth circle.
Okay.
So he gets on, and no one's happier to talk to me in my life. This guy is so happy to talk to me. Hey, how's it going today? Congratulations. Yeah, you're going to... we've got your credit card information. We've got it all here.
Good.
Yes, we are... I can't remember how he just said it. It was like we are already... And he didn't use these words. I'm going to be old, and I'm going to say, we're plugged in to the RBC, you know, Visa, da-da-da-da, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so I just need the first four digits of your credit card. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he would need the first four digits. Mm-hmm. That seems weird, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the start of a scam. It's a start.
I guess.
He's not closing the
door. I couldn't see any harm in that, so I was like, oh, okay, I'll just give you my...
Oh, I don't... No, no, there's harm. Don't do that. Okay, but go ahead.
I just made it up.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't think he can tell this. He didn't stop him. And he goes, and I just need the three digits on the back.
There you go. All right.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. He's like, all I need for you to get on this trip and da-da-da, go blah, 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 gives me all this stuff, is the three digits on the back of your card. No, not comfortable doing that. Remember, we're talking like Tom Waits. So he probably thought he was talking to Tom Waits.
Also, you're talking about a made-up card.
And I'm a big fan.
You're not comfortable with this made-up card that you...
I only give him four digits, so...
a made-up card, though. So even if you... I don't care what you give him on the back. It's all made 'em ups.
I don't want to say anything more, though. This is the end of it for me, right?
So, I know. I like, though, that you're feeling awkward about, like, I don't know, he might... This card that doesn't exist. I don't want to rack up a lot of charges on...
Well, it could be someone else's card.
Doesn't exist.
It could be someone else's card, though. I don't know where the number's from. Mm. He's got some number. I assume he has part of my number.
Okay.
Right? I don't know. I don't know what he's got.
Well, clearly he doesn't because he's got...
True, anyway. But he might not have the first four digits.
Didn't someone call you... And ask for your last four digits, like in the last little while?
No.
Wasn't that a case?
No.
Okay, because this sounds familiar, the last three digits business.
Okay.
Okay, continue.
So then, they slowly build it up. Can I have the last or the second to last
all
four
I need
digits?
All the middle digits. Long con.
So I kept saying no, kept kind of stalling on this part of it. And then he's like, well, I understand, sir. According to the 1986 ruling on credit card privacy, it's your right to... And that was the end of it. It just went dead.
I think you've told me this story before.
Yeah, we were talking about it at the show.
There we go. Yeah. All right, yes.
But people out there hadn't heard it. And
understood.
I thought it was kind of interesting.
That's why I was thinking about that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the big clip.
Yeah, it was just weird. This suddenly stopped. In the middle of him talking, it's just like, he just kind of went, nah, forget it.
Sir,
this guy is not
you're
gonna...
absolutely correct. And I respect...
It's right here.
My trip!
What happened? Mickey! Yeah.
Gosh, shucks.
That was the end of it.
Well,
we ain't going.
Your tax scam from before, I put a link up on
yeah,
our...
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, Sneaky Dragon Facebook page. Apparently, it's a pretty standardy scam now.
And has worked on people. That's a surprising
part.
Oh,
absolutely it has, yeah.
There's some...
People are scared. People are scared. They're scared of taxes and they're scared of police. If a tax person says, I need this, this, and this for you, you will say yes. If a police officer says, blah, 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 you go, yes. Those are the two things we're scared of.
I guess.
And perhaps, depending on how religious you are, Steve.
Steve.
Because you don't know what shit he was up to.
Yeah, he terrifies
me. That story's
me.
Still vague.
It's so vague. We don't know what the hell happened to him. Steve.
I mean, he's there for a reason. He says it's a mix-up, but I don't buy that.
Yeah.
You know, every time he says that, like, Judas rolls his eyes. And I'm like, Judas seems to know that you did something.
Shit gets real when Steve's around.
Yeah, you think Judas would rat him out, but he doesn't.
No.
Judas keeps the old tight lips.
He learned his lesson. I did it once. Fool me once. Shame on me. Or you. Shame on one of us. I'm not sure. I'm in the seventh circle of hell. Yuck.
Now I'm thinking you're saying the seventh circus of hell.
The seventh circus of hell.
Even worse. So anyway, the landline. Still a good idea?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Sure. Keeps you amused. Have a good time. Yeah. That's good.
I've been enjoying this enforced break from reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's something else.
Every so often, I'll get a text from someone that's clearly a scam.
Mm.
That's just like, it's really intense and something's going on. And I'm like, well, this isn't real at all.
Mm.
This is just make-em-ups.
Yes.
So I'll write, is this make-em-ups?
Is that what you say, really? Is this a scam?
No, I just say, is this make-em-ups?
Okay. What do they say back? Yes-em-ups.
Usually not much. Yeah. I was like, no, what? You know, no, it's confusing if you're not taking it seriously.
That's the part of it. I think that's the best part of it. I think the sort of taking it seriously, but obviously like having a smile is confusing to them.
Yeah. You're letting that smile be your umbrella. Good for you.
The tech scam was the best one though, because it's so nonsensical but I can see, someone who's confused, slightly addled or scared and not thinking straight. I can see how, but it plays in a few things. One, it plays, you know what W.C. Fields said. You can't cheat an honest man. And that kind of plays into that, right? It's playing into your greed. So it's saying you owe $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay $1,000, then you can get out from underneath the $5,000. And all you need to do is leave it in a paper bag in an alleyway. You know, and you're like, okay, sounds good to me. Sounds totally legit.
Yeah.
Because you're not thinking about $1,000. You're thinking about the $5,000. And so then that's where they get you.
Here's the one thing that I think these scams need to succeed. And that is actually setting up a thing where you really give away some cruises. You need someone to go, oh, my friend went on that cruise.
Yeah.
And it was great. That's all you need. Because the problem is when you hear like, oh, I want a free, this guy was offering me a free Disney cruise. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, no one I've ever heard of has ever won something like that.
Yeah.
So this sounds complete bullshit. But if they just gave away some, then start the scamming, brother. You know, you gotta give away the $100 first and then people will like think they can win $100.
You say that, but people keep buying tickets to try and win a car at the P&E and no one ever wins that. Which is a fact. An indisputable
fact. Yeah, and no one's ever come back from the roller coaster. Everyone goes up, no one comes down.
I love the roller coaster.
Yep, up, and then all of a sudden, there's more people dressed as ghosts and their Halloween thing later on.
I was reading about the P&E, Playland.
the Pacific National
Exhibition, or Playland, which is the amusement park part of it.
Right.
And
used to be mascotted by Garfield. And then Garfield wanted more money, I assume. And so that was
the more lasagna. They said no.
Yeah, they paid him in lasagna.
That's all they pay him in.
And you know what? Fucker wouldn't work Mondays.
Bastard. He came late. To be fair, he did work Mondays. He just hated them and came late.
Yeah.
Also. And also shot people. The
why would he shoot people?
He doesn't like Mondays.
I got it. Thank you.
God, you brought it up. It was coming back around.
Oh, joke, dude.
The stuff you're talking about at the beginning of the show, I was funny, like, actually, totally like,
wrong. When I was practicing like the song and singing it,
failure.
I thought for a bit, like, I wonder if I could do a Lorenzo music impression and actually sing this song as Garfield.
Yeah.
Because that'd be great.
Yeah.
And then I realized, no, I can't. You can't. Not even, like, I'd really need like a 2-month running start to get to that point. Yeah.
Well, keep working on it.
All right. So you were reading about the Pacific National.
Yeah, and they said, you remember the Wild Mouse ride, which is a fantastically crazy, crazy fun roller coaster.
Yeah.
That had a lot of a lot of quick turns.
Yeah.
And quick dips and a lot of, it was basically really quick because it's a mouse.
Yeah.
And it's wild.
Right.
But they took it down, but they still have it.
Where?
This is in storage. It's sitting in, I guess it's in its component part.
Where is this storage?
I don't know. I was reading an article about Playland. Now, because they talk about all the rides that have been there or are there,
right,
and where they came from.
Right.
So, like, you know, the Music Express ride originally came from Ontario, from this place, da-da-da. So it's kind of an interesting thing to read about. And
I'd be really curious where they're storing the wildness.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, I mean, once you take it down to its bits and pieces, I mean, I know it's a big thing when it's together, but when it's all piled in a pile of girders.
That'd be a great warehouse, like a ride warehouse. It always is strange to me because there's so many places in the States that are abandoned amusement parks. Like, just abandoned, right?
They're not abandoned. That's just that's their theme.
No, there are actual abandoned.
No. That's just pretend. You're getting confused. That's part of their fun. They look like they're abandoned. You go in, you're like, oh, this looks fine. It's an abandoned amusement park. Uh-huh. And then it turns out it's this big, crazy riot that feels like it's going to fall apart any minute, much like the wooden roller coaster at the P&E.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fun of the ride, right? When you're on it, you feel like, oh my God, this thing's going to fall apart. Right. It's just a bunch of wood, you know?
So you're saying these abandoned amusement parks aren't abandoned. And they're actually still functioning.
Yeah.
And you just go in and it's just everyone's making the mistake of thinking
exactly,
because there's no one working the rides that they're abandoned. That's the mistake they're making?
They're working them. They'll just come out when they're needed.
They'll just come out when they're needed.
Part of the atmosphere.
They're hiding in the woods. And they will, the carnies will come out and they will start running the rides.
That's right. Once you go in there, then they realize, oh, people are here. Time to, like, let's take it seriously. Otherwise, it looks like it's not abandoned. If a bunch of people are standing around running the rides, how is that abandoned? It's not. Correct?
So anyway, what I wonder about these places is...
Siri gave me that argument.
Sounds good. Does no one want this metal? Like, is this from a time period where metal was not valuable at all? Like, all these amazing, huge metal rides.
Yeah.
And, like, one, I could see, like, so you can't...
They're probably still owned by someone, right?
Right, but then they're covered in moss. They're, like, rusting. Mm-hmm. It's like, does no one want to buy a Ferris wheel? Like, and if you don't want to buy a Ferris wheel, does no one want to buy Ferris wheel parts to replace your Ferris wheel?
Yeah.
I mean, there must be value to these things. And if nothing else... Metal.
Well, you know what the problem is that Canada didn't
merry-go-rounds. No one's gonna buy these fucking horses.
Canada didn't sign the Ferris trade deal, so there's just no way to do that.
And people say there's no good political humor in Canada, and Dave just proved it.
Harper.
Oh, it's proved.
Thank you.
Let me say this about the Harper situation and whatnot.
What about abandoned malls, just before we go on to Harper?
Abandoned malls?
Yeah, have you seen that?
Like Martin Mall? No one's
forget about
no
him.
One's, no, no one's visiting. About
no one's visiting.
He's got a nice art collection. Go he see the guy. Nice He's very clever.
Yeah. He did a couple of funny songs.
And Fernwood Tonight. Solid show.
Awesome show.
All right.
In the States.
Abandoned malls.
Yeah, there's just a mall. Just malls that are just empty. And they're just falling apart. And really, once again, I guess people could get escalator parts from them. But you know what's probably better? If you have a Ferris wheel, and people are riding on it, is that you have new parts for it and you're not just taking them off of abandoned Ferris wheel parts that could cause actual accidents when people go to use those in those abandoned amusement park theme parks. Because then they go to use a Ferris wheel, it falls off of the stand and starts to roll away. That is obviously a lawsuit waiting.
A lot,
it's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah. It happens so much in the States that sometimes people would race them when they just came out. Right. And all the Ferris wheels would be going down. Yeah. No, you're absolutely
You've heard of that, right? Like abandoned. Have you seen the movie Gone Girl?
No, I have not. But okay. I do know about abandoned malls. Yeah. Yes, those are things.
I think it's kind of
fun.
Weird.
I like it.
Why do you like it?
I just like the idea of like walking through a mall that's like abandoned.
They kind of become a homeless magnet. So it's probably not the safest place to wander around. But it is interesting. I think it's fascinating that something that 10 years ago was this thriving place full of, you know, young girls shopping for whatever, mm-hmm. you know, making fun of the boys on the other side of the aquarium, wherever they were in the mall. But, you know, it's just, it is fascinating that they just kind of end, you know. And I mean, I don't know. Is that a result of, I guess, Amazon? Is that what that is? I don't know.
It depends what the things are. I mean, like almost everything that I remember.
Don't people need an Orange Julius anymore?
When I was a kid, I used to hang out at the mall all the time, and I would buy my comics from the smoke shop. But it's like almost all the stores that I could remember from the mall would have really little to no reason for existing anymore. You know, there's like record stores.
Oh, we kept records?
And there you go. There'd be like a store in the middle that would just sell collector's plates. Lots of plates. Like, you know, there's no need for that.
There's still one of those in Langley, actually.
Yeah, but you don't need to go out and, like, browse plates. Like, let's go out to the mall and browse the plates and see what plates we're going to get. It's like, what plate do you want? That plate. Send it to me. I'm not buying 12. Just mail it. I don't need this.
How are you going to feed your friends?
Right.
You only have one plate. That's ridiculous.
And then, you know, the smoke shop, it's that kind of thing doesn't really...
No, there's no need for smoke
shop
anymore.
Even back then, it was like, you know, a third smoke shop... And then a third, maybe magazines, mostly dirty magazines. And then the other part of the store was just novelty items.
Yeah.
You know, aprons with fake boobs on them or make you look like a gorilla or a gorilla with fake boobs. And it's just naughty items.
So many variations of that.
And they never sold. Uh-huh. None of them ever sold. And in years, they would still be there. And like, well, why don't you just change the merchandise? Because this isn't selling. There's no point in keeping this up.
Yeah.
Why is this? It's not making good atmosphere. What's your point, store?
Yeah.
Of course, this mall now is basically just become a strip mall with I don't know what the hell, nowadays.
Are you talking about a mall that's named after a town in Arizona? Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Our local mall that we grew up with?
Well, it was the local mall, but I'm talking about the North Delta Shoppers Mall.
Oh, okay. That one I never went to.
That was,
it was closer for you to go to that one.
Well, it had a smoke shop. It had comics. Yeah. And Scottsdale Mall did not have comics.
Okay.
Had a bowling alley, and I was part of the Youth Bowling League, so I would go there to bowl.
Bully for you.
Then later, Scott 72 would open next door. Boy, you really got to take a drink. We're now talking about it. And that one had a
movie theater.
Multiplex.
Three theaters.
Three movie theaters.
Yes. Amazing.
Whoa!
Amazing.
Settle down, everybody.
I know. And what's crazy is, well, I had three theaters.
Saw Ghostbusters. Saw Back to the Future there. Saw every 80s movie
there.
Can
I say what else?
RoboCop.
Here's a weird one I saw there. Zelig. Doesn't that seem weird? In a three-theater suburban mall, they had Woody Allen's Zelig.
How was anyone else there with you to see it?
Yeah, my friend Rob Rebsol, who was a guest of the show.
So just the
two
of you.
We saw it together.
And you said to Rob, shouldn't you be a guard in the CBC? And he went, oops! And by the time he got back...
Said I just gave my uniform to a friend to do for me. Fill in.
Yep.
No problem.
But I saw all the big 80s movies. Any 80s movie you can think of.
Ishtar?
I may have seen Ishtar there.
I saw it there, actually.
It's quite possible.
I did see it there.
Yeah.
I saw Jurassic Park there, although that's a 90s film.
Mm-hmm.
The first digital film, Jurassic Park.
Is that right?
Yep.
Here's what I remember of Back to the Future that was great.
That meant that it was sent to the theater on a disc.
It's amazing. was I played Scratch and Win afterwards, and I won $10.
Whoa, that's $80.
That was $80. That goes a lot further. So much money.
It's like $12 now.
I could buy a human. It's worth so much money. It was crazy.
You could buy a replicant.
It was the best. And the girl I was dating at the time kissed me because I had so much money.
We saw Alien 3 there.
When did Alien 3 come out?
I can't remember.
That was a bit later.
It's a 90s one, but we saw it there.
Okay. I just associate it with all 80s movies. And then you go over and you go eat at Godfather's Pizza.
What's the pizza? Yes, that was good.
Pizza you can't refuse.
It was good,
And then you get your greasy hands and go play at the arcade that was there in there. Ah.
Boy, I hope everyone's taking a lot of drinks because Ian is really reminiscent.
There you are.
What was that Wes Craven film? The Serpent and
Shocker.
The Serpent and the Rainbow?
The Serpent and the Shocker.
The Serpent.
It's a very dirty film.
Serpent and the Rainbow.
Yeah.
Which is a voodoo film.
Yep.
And I went and saw it, but I forgot my glasses. So I just, it was the blurriest film I've ever seen. I didn't know what was going on through the whole film. I could not see a thing. Mm-hmm. It was hilarious. If I hadn't spent money to see a film.
That is a shame, because that is the film that optometrists always go, like, better like this or better like this.
That's right. Yeah. I could, if I could make a reference to the film, I would. I've just never seen it since that
I also
time.
Like that that's one of those films that says, you know, a true story.
Does it?
And then it's got, like, ghosts coming out, yeah, doing a bunch of business. And
sure, it didn't say based on a true story. I can't swear to, because I couldn't read the writing either. So,
no, so all true, completely true.
I have terrible eyesight.
Yeah.
Without my glasses.
And then we in the audience went, really? And then the director came out and went, you calling me a fucking liar?
Wes Craven
just started
was there
pushing people around. I'm sorry, Wes Craven's passed away recently, but he was pushing, he was younger than and stronger. Yeah,
it's a tribute. Around. Tribute to Wes Craven, everyone. What's his best film? What's Wes Craven's best film?
What's Wes Craven's best film?
Yeah.
The best of the West. Let's see. Nightmare on Elm Street's pretty good. What else? He did Shocker. He did Last House on the
Left. I would say Last House on the Left.
Later on.
The Hills Have Eyes?
He did the new Nightmare. He did a bunch of stuff. He did stuff that you don't expect that he did. You know, and you go,
Paddington Bear?
Yes. The Mauling. Yes.
The Mauling?
Yeah, Paddington Bear. The Mauling. Paddington Bear is an abandoned mall, mm-hmm, and okay, so it works as a double pun.
Mm.
I saw him at...
I was thinking of his parody of Grizzly Man called Paddington Bear Man.
Like it. my wife won an award with a Scream Spike Awards.
You know the scene where...
oh, boy, you don't even want to hear this story. God damn it, I'm telling you a story about actually seeing Wes Craven. It's like, no, I'm not listening. We're at episode 201. I can't even get a word in. But go ahead. Tell your story.
Oh, I was just thinking of the scene
it has a lot of celebrity cameos, because mine sure fucking did. Go ahead. Tell your story.
No, I was just going to say, the scene where the director is sitting and listening to the guy being covered by marmalade.
Yeah.
It's just quite a shocking scene. It breaks your heart when you watch it. Anyway, go on with your story about Spike Awards.
No, I can't. What do you mean? I can't top that.
What do you mean?
There's no way I can top marmalade ears. Okay. Go on. So here's what it was. My wife won an award, and so we were invited to an award, one of those award shows that, like, oh, I won, but you know you won. And we're sitting across from Wes Craven and his wife, and he won the award, and it was like, okay, it's kind of a silly little award, but they show a bunch of clips of his films, and he goes up.
What was the award? What did he win?
He won, like, award for, like, it was a Lifetime Achievement Award for, like, horror. So
yeah,
he
won for Best Lifetime.
Best Lifetime, yeah, that's right. So, but he goes up. But the nice thing was, I was sitting, like, right across from his wife, and she was so proud.
Mm.
She was just there, and she was just beaming. She was having a great time.
So nice.
And they both really dressed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, they're just having a nice time. And it's like all this big room full of, you know, huge kind of stadium full of people were all cheering for him. And it was just nice. Mm-hmm. Just genuinely, that's just pleasant.
That is nice.
And then Christopher Nolan came down and, like, talked to him for a bit and was just like, really like it, really. It was very friendly. And it's like, ah, shucks. And then that was and I've told this story too many times, so I won't tell it again. That was the award where I watched Tim Burton almost die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a balloon accident.
In a balloon accident.
Which would be weird, but kind of interesting to say that you were there when Tim Burton died at a balloon accident at an award ceremony.
Yep.
Because people would have to hear the story.
Yep.
Which maybe you should tell again.
Super fast.
Sure.
So it was like...
we're known on the show for how quickly we can
They had a whole bunch of different random awards. Like, mm-hmm, my wife won for best comic book for Why the Last Man. Mm-hmm. And they had Anthony Hopkins won for some award. So he was there.
Best sound effect.
George Lucas was there. Samuel Jackson was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had one for Tim Burton.
Yeah.
I think it was another Lifetime Achievement Award.
Sure.
So it was like, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Burton. And it... You know, and the music from Beetlejuice starts playing,
yeah,
or any Danny Elfman song ever. Yeah, when he did the theme song to Lincoln, watch out for John Wilkes Booth. Watch out for he freed the slaves. Lincoln. So anyway, In a small, like a man-sized box. Basically, there's like a box that you could, like, okay, stand in as a man.
This was in to publicize his 90 Days Around the World.
I have no idea. So anyway, okay, and so he's attached. Okay, so the Willy box
Wonka, maybe?
Is attached to four fairly large balloons, purple balloons.
Okay.
And they're being, and so he's up there,
mm-hmm,
and he's full Tim Burton. He's got the Tim Burton hair.
Yeah.
He's got the whatever. And his hair's a little raised higher than normal because he's terrified. And there's ropes that are being held by two people on the ground and walking him towards the stage.
It's their job. They're riggers.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're riggers.
Yeah.
And then at one point, one of them accidentally lets go. And then the other
they
one
didn't
is
They didn't have like, rigorous training.
Yeah, and the other one's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's trying to pull. And then it's like, grab, and frantic. And you see Tim Burton.
Yes. So did it drop or like go sideways or tilt just
enough
angle?
It was enough of a tilt that like it was like, like you didn't notice because everyone's looking up at Tim Burton.
Sure.
But in these situations, I like looking at the person who's controlling the thing. So I'm watching this and then I see it slip out of his hands because I'm thinking, boy, if that slipped out of his hands, that would be, holy shit, it slipped out of his hands.
Yeah.
And then I thought for a second, oh, this is the gag. They're doing a gag.
Sure.
And then I was like, this isn't a gag. But they then so they pull it all the way and they pull it down to the stage and he gets out and like,
they shouldn't have got. They shouldn't have had a guy with scissor hands holding the ropes.
Oh boy, that'd been dangerous. So he does his talk and what have you, and I say to Pia that, oh boy, that looked like there was some trouble.
Yeah.
She's like, it's because she saw it too. So after the after the thing, we go to Mel's Diner, and there's two people that are there, and they're talking.
The diner owned by Rockin' Mel Slurp.
That's a deep cut, but fair enough. So we go into the diner, and there's two people talking about the balloons and stuff, and we realize it's the people that were in charge of the balloon.
Yeah.
So I say to one of them, that was, first of all, I start with a compliment. Don't start with a, did you almost kill Tim Burton? you got to start with a compliment. You go like,
how do you compliment it?
You
good
go,
recovery?
No, here's what you compliment.
Yeah.
Those balloons look great because the balloons looked great.
Okay.
So he was happy about that. It was like, thank you. The balloons are very proud of our balloons. And so I was saying like, yeah, so it looked like just like halfway through, there's a little something going on there. And he went, no. We had it all under control.
Oh, okay.
We had it all under control. And his partner was there, and she looked over and just gave me the look and gave me the shake of the head of like, we did not have it under control. He's just giving like the big wide eyes. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, it's good that you had it all under control.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we came very close to seeing Tim Burton just float away forever. Which is
I don't think he would have floated.
Okay, so what
I
would
have
happened?
I think he would have fallen.
How so?
Do you think it... I guess it was holding him. I
yeah, because she now was trying to hold on to the other one, right?
Yeah.
So it was like slipping out of her hands. So it was like, because it was just too much.
Okay,
like
I was imagining that he had like ropes holding him up.
No. It's a balloon.
It actually was a working balloon.
It's a working balloon.
It was a working,
There's two ropes, a la like a float.
Yeah.
And the two people are controlling the ropes. There's a backup person up there, of course, because you know the two of them are there. So one person lets go. You've got the other person. But the other person was just not heavy enough and was starting to go. And like she was not going to go up into the sky with Tim. So Tim would have gone. And I don't know how they could have gotten Tim down. Yeah. I have no idea how you would retrieve a person
like
there's
a person with a rifle.
Yes. And
nearby. And they shoot at a couple of the balloons to cause it to float down slowly.
Does that work?
Of course it does.
Sure, if it's a cartoon.
What do you mean if it's a cartoon?
You throw Woody Woodpecker over at it.
If you are carefully balanced with four balloons,
yes,
and you shoot one of them,
right, then it you will fall out.
And someone will catch you at the bottom in a blanket.
Sure.
It all works. It's all they have it all planned out. And then Woody Woodpecker flies down.
What you do is you give him some Gingold, which turns his bones to rubber.
Okay.
Then you...
Hermione Gingold?
I'm using Gingold was what the elongated man used to drink to give himself flexibility.
Gingold?
Yes.
That's weird because there's an old actress named Hermione Gingold.
Oh, neat.
So that's weird that they use that as a name.
I thought you were just doing a Hermione Granger joke.
No, it was not anything to do with Hermione Granger.
A stretch.
It was even more obscure than my Hermione Granger usual, you know, go-to joke about Hermione Granger. But no, it was Hermione Gingold, who I don't even know who she was, but that's a name the past.
Well, I'm just telling you what happened in Flash Comics, which was the origin of the elongated man, was he was a guy who liked Indian rubber men.
Okay.
And he was fascinated with flexibility. So he would go to all the Indian rubber men show and go, afterwards go, what's your secret? And they'd go, there's no secret. Get away. Get away.
Okay.
And then he'd sneak into their tents.
Yeah.
And he would see that all of them had Gingold drink.
Yeah.
And so he was like, Gingold. So he got himself some Gingold. He drank it. And then he turned all flexible.
And so every time he needed to be flexible, he would drink this Gingold.
Until the writers went, that's boring. Let's just make him flexible all the time.
So then he got hit by lightning while he was had Gingold in him.
He was basically Plastic Man without all the fun of turning into stuff.
Oh.
He just would stretch a bit.
So it's kind of like Reed Richards.
I think Reed Richards can actually change his shape into things if he wants to.
He can?
I think so. Yeah. I think Reed can... Reed could do whatever Jack wants him to do. He can have a bit of fun, turn into a thing. Yeah. He'd turn into a couch, whereas Elongated Man could not turn into a couch. He would just elongate body parts and hopefully be able to reach the criminal and then deal with him by the power of being longer.
Mm. Yes.
He's not the greatest character in the world.
I was going to say, it sounds like a time period where there's a lot of characters. There were just so many characters that you could have that one just there as a, you know, maybe.
Yeah, it's some kids will buy it. It's like, well, what's his powers? Like Plastic Man, but not as fun.
Yeah.
I like it.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I want to read this.
You got it.
This sounds boring.
Yep. Pretty much.
I'm going to buy that comic.
How about Green Lantern, except he can't do much with the ring?
Mm.
I like it.
Sure.
Less so. Less things.
I was reading, I bought a book a while ago. And I started reading it the other day, and I realized why it took me a long time to get around to it, which is, it's an Alex Toth book. I like to say Alex Toth, but apparently it's Toth. And what's it? He's a very interesting artist, like, you know.
Most famous for?
Space Ghost, I would say, for the design, for designs for Space Ghost.
And also, if you've seen Super Friends, he designed all the characters in the Super Friends cartoon.
Yeah. Like, he worked for Hanna-Barbera from the 60s on because he had a really... streamlined style, so it really worked well.
Really, really nice art.
Yeah, yeah, for that kind of realistic, semi-realistic, very stylized. It's interesting, but in the 50s, 60s, he was a DC and he worked for other people. And worked for Standard Comics and did romance comics and stuff. So I bought this book.
I like Standard Comics.
Yeah. Yeah,
find us on the Average Isle. Ooh, that's a bit too exciting.
That's basically what they were.
Put down that copy of Best Comics. Mm-hmm. Try some Standard Comics.
That's basically what they were.
Do you guys have subpar? Yeah, we sold out.
Sold out. But we do have some Standard. Like, we have regular over here. Want regular comics? They were kind of the behind the comics. They're a step behind everyone else. So, you know, when you have romance comics that are very popular, they'll do romance comics. When horror comics are very popular, they'll do horror comics. So, you know, they were slightly a step behind everyone else.
Yeah. Be like Crypt of Horror and they do Crypt of Crisis.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Tales to annoy.
Tales to, that's right. Make you nervous. And so they, but he drew a lot of these. And so, so you're reading them, you're thinking, oh, I love his art, I'm going to read these stories. And then the stories are You're just like, well, what? Who read these? Like, who was interested? The romance stories. Like, you can see the formula, and you can see why it would appeal.
Yeah.
You know, the girl who's in love with this man that she can't tell her father about.
Yeah.
And it's this, you know, star-crossed romance, and, oh, she's so unhappy. And
right.
Finally, at the end, it all comes out to it, you know.
Right, because the fella that the father said she must marry.
Yeah.
Oh, but father, I don't want to marry him. I want to marry him. No, you must marry this stranger that you'll meet. No, father, I don't want to marry the stranger.
Yeah.
All right, I'll finally marry the stranger. I hate you, father, but then I'm going to kill myself tonight. Wait, the stranger is the person I was going to marry. Oops, too bad I took that poison. Da-da-da-da. Done.
The problem is that we, you know, when you talk about like how great, say, Eastie Comics were, well, no wonder they were great because they stand like heads and tails above these. Is that even a thing you're supposed to say, heads or tails?
You're also reading the best ones.
EC?
Yeah, you're remembering the best ones.
Well, I have like big collections of EC.
And do they consistently pay off? There you go. That's the truth.
They're pretty, I mean, they're not all great. I'll agree with that. But I mean, overall, they're pretty good. And if you compare them to the ones that were copying them, they're really good. You know, like there's some army ones by Toth and these.
Okay,
and he did some stuff for EC. He did some Kurtzman ones, but they didn't have these in here. These were just their standard stories, the ones that they had that Fantagraphics had rights to. And so it's interesting because the stories are so boring that it's actually a real struggle to read them because I'm interested in them because of the art.
Yeah.
I think it's, everybody take a drink.
Oh, that's a very different sounding.
It was weird. That was a ghost car.
Yep.
Ghost car.
They're hunting ghosts.
Ghostbusters. And so are ghost chasers. Oh, that's the name of that thing.
What is?
Is that what it's called? Ghost chase? No, that's a different thing. Anyway.
You're saying half sentences. You got to say full sentences.
Keep trying to think of the name of this.
Are you thinking of the old movie that was called The Ghost Chasers?
Ghost Finders Corporation. There's a this interesting, I think I talked about it before, there was a web series or a web pilot.
Dave, we're up to episode 201. You've talked about everything before. Mm. We're going to start repeating ourselves like a couple of old men.
So there's this a web pilot for a possible TV show called Ghost Fighting Corporation. I believe that's what it's called. All GFC. Right. And it's pretty good. I advise people to look it up online.
So is this like an Ultimate Ghost Fighters? Like they can use their elbows and knees
fighting a ghost? No, it's more of a slacker Ghost Fighters. Okay. It's two British web sketch artists who have put together a show on their own. It's pretty good.
All right.
For doing it by, you know, with a limited budget, you know, stuff like, you know, they didn't have a van, so they just went and filmed someone's van parked in the street.
Yeah.
And just incorporated it into the show. Stuff like that, you know, very clever. But anyway, it's just interesting to read these stories because you just read them and you realize, despite the great art, you know, it's just so repetitive that I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish it, actually.
That's all right.
Or if I can just look through it. And I was looking at the bookstore near us here. They have a Kriegstein one, Bernard Kriegstein, who is pretty famous. He did the Master Race for New Trends comics, for EC comics, which is a pretty famous comic.
Yeah, that's pretty famous.
It's not in there because this is, once again, it's probably his work for Standard. So there's romance comics and whatnot in there. And it'd be interesting to read, once again, because he's a very good artist. He started as a comic book artist and then he quickly moved into the real art, you know, became a fine artist. But it still would be kind of interesting. But once again, the roadblock is now I know that the stories are going to be this, you know.
Can't you just look at the art and enjoy it for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine then.
That's what I'm trying to do.
There you go.
But have you ever seen, there's a kind of famous online thing where Steve Rude, who drew Nexus, comic book Nexus, and some other stuff he did, like Mr. Miracle for DC, mm-hmm. and he's a big Kirby fan. And
he did a really good Superman versus the Hulk comic once.
Oh, I didn't know that one. But
really, he
did a Johnny Quest comic, and he sent it to Alex Toth to get some criticism on it. And it is the most, you know, your asshole has been removed criticism that I have ever read in my life. Like, it is. But reading this interview,
I'm sure Steve Rude took that well.
You think so?
Nope.
Why do you say that?
He just doesn't take things well. I like the guy, too. I've sat next to him at cons. I get along with him really well.
He's a very talented artist.
He's a very talented artist.
Yeah. Amazingly talented.
He's a very talented artist. Yeah. There you go.
He's one of those people that it's hard to explain, but they're so good that color kind of ruins their art.
Sure.
Because, you know, when I first, when it became the reason I became interested in him is because First Comics, which is what used to publish Nexus, they put out a little package of, you know, like kind of samplers of their comics in a little black and white, you know, free comic book. And so I saw his art in black and white, and I was just like, man, this guy is fantastic. I'm going to start reading this comic just to look at the art. And so that's what I did. And then I got into it. But it was the art that brought me to it, which is usually the case. And yeah, he's fantastic. But yeah, Alex Toth. But reading this book, I can see why, because as it turns out, when he started, like, he had art literally ripped up in front of him. Mm. Like, he's a teenager and he was going out to start trying to sell his stuff. He went to a guy, and I can't remember the guy's name now. If I said it, you'd probably know who I meant. Because
Rip Taylor.
Rip, that's right. He made some funny noises.
Famous for ripping art. And
This guy just tore it up in front of him and just made him go and do it again. You know, he just said, no, this is garbage. You know, and this is what you need to do. Gave him like these instructions and da-da-da, which is tough. And then he also, there's a guy named Sheldon Meyer who was a DC editor for a long time and then went on to become an artist doing Sugar and Spike and some other things. And he was also tough, but he didn't tear it up, but he was also very tough, but also kind. Like, he gave him work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, was very rigorous in his expectations of how it should be done. And which is good, you know, so I can see his thinking, which this is what I went through. This is how I learned. And so what you need... I'm going to help this kid out. Not realizing this guy who had given him these pages...
Spirit break. Shatter.
The guy who had given him these pages was already like 15 years into a career in comics. Yeah, he'd already been doing Nexus forever.
Doesn't care, though. No. You know, it's like, in that real comics, or what is it? Nexus? What's that for? What company? Yeah. First? Never heard of it.
Yeah.
That reminds me of like Frank Miller, who used to always like show his stuff to Neil Adams, and Neil Adams would tear him a new asshole. Like, just constantly, just like, nope, this is garbage.
Yeah.
It's garbage. You will never work. You will never work in the industry. Stop wasting my time. Oh, here he is again. Absolute terrible.
You're making the earth too big.
Right, and then, okay, that's it. Good deep cut. And then one day, Frank Miller comes in with this, and I'm like, well, this is the worst of it. This is completely terrible. you know, you should just give up. It's like, oh, because Marvel bought this. Oh, well, you're fine then. Welcome to the industry. And he went on to, you know, be Frank Miller.
I guess, I you know, to be fair to both of them, Frank Miller's style is the, you know, almost the opposite of how you know, Neil Adams draws. Neil Adams is a very romantic realist.
Yep.
Whereas Frank Miller is a stylist, and I would say on the opposite side of romantic.
And both
romantic.
Influenced, you know, comics tremendously mm-hmm. with their styles.
Oh, for sure.
By the way, have you seen the new Frank Miller Superman?
The Superman?
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It looks like an editorial cartoon of Superman by Lex Luthor. Like Lex Luthor commissioned it. Except Lex Luthor would not say, and let's really see that wang.
Yeah.
By the way, I've said wang too much in this episode. But, like, you do see Superman's penis in the thing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, whatever.
What the drawing actually looks like, it looks like a float. Mm, it looks like a float in some sort of, you know, Macy's Day Parade that it's just, you know, it's been sort of strangely inflated. And I don't know, it is kind of weird. I mean, yes. I assume he's going for something with this, with what he's trying to say here.
Sure.
Is there some? I don't want to judge it till I see the context of it.
Good for you.
Why?
And that way you're not like the rest of the world. I'm gonna judge it. Here's what I'm gonna judge.
Okay.
I'm gonna judge it on. I'm gonna judge it on that I read Dark Knight 2. This is what I'm gonna judge what I've seen of Dark Knight 3 on that I've seen Dark Knight 2. That's what I'm gonna judge it on.
I have not read anything by him for a long time. And even when
you know,
I was...
That's fine. That's probably for the best.
When I did the Super Goof Dark Knight Returns parody thingy...
For your title card?
For one of the title cards that I did, yeah. I used the cover of my Dark Knight Returns. I just scanned that in. But so I read it while I was sitting in the mm-hmm. studio. And it doesn't hold up. You know, it doesn't really work anymore. When I read it as a teenager, or whatever, however old I was at the time... I was amazingly into those comics. I remember we were coming back from a great comic book show on the island.
Yeah.
And I just read those on the ferry trip back.
I remember that you drew images many. From that.
Oh, many,
like
yeah.
Like every fold of clothing, every wrinkle in the face.
I love that style. Yeah, I really like that super detailed. And, I still like the style of it. It's just the way it's written, maybe I have never liked that kind of thing where there's a bunch of people talking at the same time and it's intercutting and you've got, you know, all these word balloons are just sort of floating in space and, you know, it's all very complicated layout. It just doesn't, as a Hergé fan, it really doesn't.
Yeah, it is jarring if you're used to Tintin. It
doesn't hit my brain the same way.
Something that I didn't get until like maybe about 2 years ago, someone mentioned like, you know, it's an anti-X-Men comic, right? It's like an anti-Marvel comic. I'm like, no, what do
Why?
You mean? Well, who does he fight in the first issue? He fights the mutants. It's a gang called the mutants.
Yeah.
And what do they look like? They're all dressed like Cyclops. They have the little Cyclops band on their heads.
Okay.
And like, the mutants have taken over. They've taken over everything.
Oh.
Like, what are you going to do? I'm going to put a stop to this bullshit. And so he comes in and just smashes the mutants all up. It's like, I'm in charge now. Okay.
Oh, interesting. So it's kind of, because he left Marvel on bad terms then?
I think because you're doing a DC comic.
Yeah.
Who's Batman going to fight?
Mm.
He's going to fight the mutants. He's going to he's going to beat up Marvel and he's going to move on with his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the Dark Knight 2, he was trying to do some shit. I don't fucking know.
Well... Wasn't the one that he did, it's kind of a very anti-Islamic comic.
Oh, he was going to do that with Batman, yeah. It was going to be Batman Holy Terror.
That was supposed to be Dark Knight 3, I heard.
Yeah.
But then DC said no.
Yeah, that was sensible. And then, Batman was going to beat up Al-Qaeda.
Okay.
Yeah. So he did it himself with a different character.
Okay, yeah.
And everyone went, hey, there's a...
Thing you did.
And it was like, I don't think DC went, oh, the regret.
That could have been ours.
Yeah, that could have been
Wasn't
ours.
It still a DC comic, though?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. But maybe it was. Anyway, he also did, with Jim Lee, he did All-Star Batman, where Batman was just like a real asshole to everybody and was just like, you know, I'm the goddamn Batman. And hey, Robin, what are you, retarded? You some kind of retard kid? A lot of that. And all the girls would like Black Canary, just like, you know, be doing stuff, and he's just like, get over here and give me some sugar, and like, and going on, and Black Canary would be all over him, and he was
I read it, but I didn't remember that.
Air. Oh, was that, did you really read All-Star Batman?
I read one issue. You gave it to me, so.
Did I?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. anyway, it's a thing.
I don't have
it. It's just
anymore.
Like, you know, Batman's an asshole, and there you go. It's just, there's a, you know, there's a cynicism, there's a darkness, there's a thing, you know, and it works, you know, if you got like a Sin City, maybe you'll go like, oh, yeah, there you are. That's, it works for this. But then you put it into anything else and you just go, ah, yeah, okay. It's fine, I suppose.
Well, I think, yeah, forget it. I don't want to knock the guy.
No, why would you?
Well, don't, you know, he's doing his thing.
He is doing his thing. He's doing.
He's happy.
A thing. Is he? I don't think that. But okay. sure. I hope he is happy. I hope he's happy.
Do you think it's? Is it a natural end of a cartooning life to go crazy?
Let me tell you this. This was a thing. Rob Liefeld wrote a thing recently, like last week, about that drawing. And his one of the things.
What, the Superman drawing?
Superman drawing.
Okay.
I was saying, look, he's trying to do this. He's doing this the way he wants to do it, and you know, look, he's 60. He's got better years in his past than he has in his future.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have him now, and this, that, and the other. And then a whole bunch of artists went 60. What? How's that old? What are you talking about? And then, of course, you go through the list of all these artists and just go, 60?
Yeah.
Your hands don't fall off at 60. What's wrong with you? That's not old man. He's not a baseball player. Mm-hmm. Who cares that he's 60?
Yeah.
You know? People have been doing stuff in their 80s and 90s, and they're cracking out great stuff. You look at Eisner, for crying out loud. Just go through a list.
I mean, Eisner.
No, even Eisner. Look, Eisner at 70, Eisner at, you know, he was still...
doing some stuff.
He was doing, and he was doing. Mm. 60 is not... Leave the old man alone. And I say as someone who's like kissing up on 50 real soon. I don't like hearing, hey, leave him alone. He's 60 years old. Ugh. The old fella, he's turning to dust.
Yeah, I don't think we need to mollycoddle him, but yeah.
Yeah, but we don't need to call him a saint. You don't have to be particularly malicious. I think you know, if you like his work, here's how you like his work.
Yeah.
Say you like his work,
sure.
Buy his work, and mm-hmm. you're fine. But I don't think we should put anyone up on a big pedestal.
No, I was going to say,
whoa.
Maybe that's the destructive element for these artists is fan culture. You know, it can become so sycophantic, and so yes, everything you do, mm-hmm. that you really do lose your grip on the reins of reality, and pretty soon you're drawing Superman with giant fists and a big penis sticking out of his...
I mean, I remember what a big deal it was that he was in Rolling Stone. They were talking about a Batman comic, and there was a big picture of Frank Miller, and it's like, comics have made it. Now it's mainstream, and oh my gosh, we all love comics now. Everything's great.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know what? He's going to be writing movies now. Oh, wow. I wrote movies. RoboCop 2 and 3. Well, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he's like, Sin City. And it's like, oh, great. And so, you know, he gets these bursts of fame, these incredible bursts of fame. And then I think like, yeah, it's rough. It's rough. I don't know. It just doesn't feel good. Like I worry about him, you know? And I see like, you know, it's like he gets to direct on his own. What's he got? The Spirit. And
I haven't watched it.
But you watch...
I've never seen it.
I have watched it, so let me speak to it.
Sure.
He shouldn't be fucking directing a movie. Like, you see that and just go like, he doesn't know what he's doing at all.
This isn't, he doesn't.
This isn't right. Don't make
But let's be fair. It's good that he did that so that no one ruined it. Because that's why he did it, right? He directed The Spirit so that no one would ruin it. So thank God that Frank Miller was there to step in to protect The Spirit from someone wrecking it. Because that could have happened so easily. And yeah.
Yeah, and then you see stuff that he you know, the stuff he was writing about the Occupy movement. It's like, it's fine not to like the Occupy movement. That's absolutely fine.
Sure.
But you just read his writing and just go, oh, this is something's not.
Drum circles aren't for everyone.
Yeah, drum circles aren't for everyone. But how he was writing about it, you just went, wow, you have gone from zero to grumpy old man. and that's what it feels like. It feels like people are treating him like he's 85, like he's 90. And so Rob Liefeld, who's someone defending him, is going, whoa, leave the old man be. And it's like, wait, he's not.
He's not that old.
He's not. Wait, I know he's portraying himself in this way through his work and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. I'm, you know, I hope things work out for the guy.
Well, the problem is when you set yourself up as the voice of opposition, is that, you know, you are always opposing popular opinion. And so... you know, you sort of back yourself into a corner over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you remember back in the, I guess it was the late 80s, he and some other professionals in the comic book industry started their own newsletter that was going to strike back against Fantagraphics Comics Journal. Because the Comics Journal spent a lot of time attacking mainstream comics, and so they were going to get back at those guys.
Okay.
And so they started a thing called WAP, WAP.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this little kind of gossipy newsletter, you know, and accused like the Hernandez brothers of being forced to paint the Fantagraphics offices because they weren't getting paid any money.
I think I remember that.
You remember that? Yeah. You know, just stuff like that. When he's already there, you know, in this sort of place where I'm the voice of the opposition.
Does that?
You're saying this, I'm going to say this. Sounds so back at you.
Yeah. When you hear that, you hear that story and just go, well, that sounds a bit offensive. Doesn't it? Yes. When you hear like these guys, they're painting.
The Hernandez brothers?
The Hernandez brothers, you're saying, are painting an office.
Well, painting the building, I guess, where the
office is. You're saying they're painting the building. They're
painting the outside of the building.
That's what you're saying about the Hernandez brothers.
And here's the thing. If they were painting the building.
Maybe they did, but it sure sounds bad.
You know what?
It sound bad like that that they're getting them to paint it.
Yeah.
That you're saying this
just. Or that you're twisting it that way.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
Pretty freaking bad.
If they did, I'm sure what happened was. Fantagraphics at that time was in LA. Mm-hmm. So they had this building, they needed to get painted. They said to everyone who they knew, if you have some time this weekend, we're going to paint the building. Come on down, we'll paint it and maybe have a barbecue or whatever. We can have some fun. So, you know, people came down who had some spare time, you know, the Hernandez brothers and other people painted the building. And then, you know, the kids turned around into they're so broke doing Love and Rock. Fantagraphics isn't paying them at all.
Right.
For doing the comic book, because they're well known for stealing from creators, Fantagraphics. So they are stealing from these guys, you know, with their holier than thou attitude, all about Kirby's artwork being stolen from by Marvel. Well, what about them stealing from the Hernandez brothers? So they have to paint a building. That was their attitude.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird subtext to that. So what ended up happening with that magazine? Nothing.
I think it went on for a while, but I don't. It's one of those things where you need like some sort of forced to keep it going, and that's really hard to do.
Right.
If you have other stuff you're doing, you know, like you're already writing Daredevil and doing, you know, doing Dark Knight and stuff, you don't really have time.
Yeah, it's tough to keep up that vibe like over and over again. That's a tough thing to keep throwing fire into.
Yeah.
It burns you up. It's no good.
The comics journal didn't like Ronan, so that was, he was so mad about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get over it.
Yeah, and
here's the thing though, no one liked Ronan. When Ronan came out, It sat on the shelves.
Right, but then...
The Dark Knight came out.
You know who liked Ronan?
Yeah.
Eastman and Laird. They liked Ronan.
That's true.
They really lifted heavily from Ronan.
They sure
made Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And then made infinite money. That might get to you if like the parody of your thing becomes so successful that it, you know...
But their thing, and I assume it was more entertaining than... I've not read very much of the... Because the drawings weren't very good, but the... I assume that their thing was more entertaining than Ronan, which I have. I bought it because I like Dark Knight.
I own it too.
Yeah.
Have I read it? No.
I read it.
What do you got? Good for you.
Yeah, I read it.
And?
It's not that great.
There you go.
Yeah. It's not that great. I mean, I can, you know, it's hard for someone, you know, who isn't Japanese to do manga, especially at that time when our exposure to it was really limited.
Oh, okay, listen, you could just litter the floor with the bodies of people that tried to bring manga that wasn't manga to North America and just go, and every one of them going, I got it, I understand, I've got it, nailed it, got it, let me just give you this
Give
book.
Me another example from Frank Miller.
From Frank Miller?
Not from Frank Miller, but other people. Do you mean like ones who brought like...
I'd say like Marvel recently had a whole line of like, you know, spider manga and all these other manga.
Yeah.
And like, we're going to, got it, understood, here it is. You know, what? Floor. Over and over and over again. Oh, so many indie titles that, you know, I got it. It's the style with the big eyes, speed lines.
Yeah.
Understood. Totally get what it's about. Here's what, one likes it. No. So much.
No, it's a weird genre, actually. It's curious how it works. And it doesn't really play very well. If you try to do it, if you're North American, particularly the weird sexuality of them doesn't really work in a North American context. When you can remove that, like if you're reading a Japanese comic or reading manga, you read it and you go, well, it's a different culture, you know. Like, you can just explain it that way, right? Well, it's a different culture.
Sometimes it hits you, sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes, you know, it's
sometimes kind of, it's brilliant, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, okay, this girl's in love with a fox demon. Okay, that's, you know. And he's looking at her, she's a schoolgirl, and he's looking at her in her underwear.
Yeah.
You know?
She seems to be climbing up looking a lot at
her.
Of ladders.
Here's the thing, though. We are both looking at her in her underwear.
Right.
Like, you just don't judge the demon guy. You were also looking at her because the artist was making you look at the girl in her underwear. And that's a weird part of that That style.
That's not wrong.
But if you did it in North America, people would be coming to your door.
Well, the weird thing is, like, you know, I grew up with, like...
and they wouldn't have Dave's, a trip to Orlando for you.
Dave's just knocking. you know, we grew up with, like, Robotech and stuff like that. Mm. But almost all of these shows, or, like, I like Battle
of the Planets. Is anime a little different than manga, though?
Well, a lot of times anime is based on manga, so okay. There's connections. Okay. So, but something like I would watch Battle of the Planets as a kid.
Love that show.
Love the show as well. You watch the original Gatchaman, everyone's murdering everybody. Just brutal, brutal, brutal murder. Right? I've never seen that. Murder, murder, murder. You look at, like, Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon, now, you know, it's like, oh, the girls are just kicking, and there's trouble and whatever, and they're all good buddies. Mm-hmm. And, oh, let's look at the Japanese version, and just like, who's going out with who? Which moons are going out with which moons?
Same with card captors.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a huge sexual subtext context that's cut out of the...
I'm sure there's stuff in Robotech that... There must be stuff in Robotech.
I guess we did watch a lot of Robotech. And I don't remember now. The other one I liked a lot was that one with the battleship, the Argo. You know, the battleship that...
Are you talking Captain Harlock?
Not Captain Harlock. No, this one had his captain was a big kind of Captain Haddocky looking guy with a white beard and the captain, but it shot like a huge laser beam out of the front of the ship.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember? What you're talking about. Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. No, I'm sorry.
Here's what I remember was like
probably Battleship Earth or something.
Captain Harlock.
Not Battleship Earth.
Okay. You can watch Captain Harlock on an English TV.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. And Harlock.
How are you watching on French TV?
Hey, on French TV. Cause I'm in Quebec. Let's take a look. Oh no, that blast hit the ship and all the ladies' clothing fell off. Just blew her clothes clean off. So not a scar on her.
I know. I watched it on French TV. I watched it on French TV too. That's where I found that. I never saw it on English TV. I just watched it on French TV.
And once you've seen it on French TV, there's no reason to watch it on English TV. It's like if you went like, oh, you like the Flintstones? Yeah. You know, the Flintstones was based on a British series called Fred Gets His Rocks Off. What? Here's the original series. What you missed was the hardcore sex scenes in between all of this, which is why, you know, Fred goes from being really frustrated to... You know, I was being Barney for a second there. I was going to do the... But anyway.
But, so when you take that context of, you know, that super sexualized element of manga, you know, you can contextualize it in the sense of, oh, it's just another culture. And let them have their fun with their teenage girls in their underwear. But, you know, if you try to do that here, forget about it.
Because we're repressed in a different way. And you've got to deal with our repression.
That's right.
What's our repression? We're frustrated and feeling like weak. So I need a superman who's really strong, who's going to like change out of being this weak milksop, take his glasses off. But he's really strong underneath. And he'll take off all his clothes, except for a tight suit underneath. And he'll show every muscle. And then he'll go. And the guy who was going, ha ha, to milksop will get a punch in the snooze from him. And then the girl who goes, I'm not dating this loser, will go, I love you so much, but muscle man will go, no, 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 you don't get any of this, that you can see every ripple in my thing. I'm not for that. Off I go now, lady who wants me, back to milksop. Oh, you just missed strong guy. Did I?
You know what's weird? Just thinking about that, Clark Kent, he's a reporter. That's kind of an exciting job.
Yeah.
You know? Like, actually, like, in movies, that was actually, like, a job. Yeah. Like, Clark Gable, you know, in that movie. Like, he's in China, and he's...
The job is an excuse to go exciting places.
Yeah. Well, he's actually a newsreel director, but and he's faking the... Have you seen that one? I can't remember what it's called. But he's faking, like, he's faking a battle with model airplanes and stuff like that to send back to the States for a newsreel. But, yeah, it's a, you know, that's, like, you know, exciting. It's an exciting thing. Like, he's a journalist in It Happened One Night. You know, where he goes after Carol Lombard, after she, the actress? Anyway, not Carol Lombard.
Carol Channing. Carol O'Connor.
It happened one night. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Remember Carol Channing?
Yeah. Now do a Carol O'Connor impression like I just mentioned.
Can't do the turlet. Thank you, everyone.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turlets.
Good night, everyone. No, who is it in that film? You know what happened one night with Clark Gable, and he goes after the heiress who runs away.
I don't know what her name is, but I...
Claudette Colbert.
Sounds
great. Thank you for your help. You know that film where she does the hitchhiking
Colbert,
thing.
Claudette Colbert, the big thing. Marmalade,
Love that part of the movie.
Yeah, she falls in love with Paddington.
Yes, they have the wall of marmalade. It's famous.
So, a reporter is a good job for a superhero, which is why... Superman is a reporter, which is why Peter Parker is a news photographer, and why Billy Batson is a news reporter. Why, everyone's a news reporter.
He's not a news reporter. Isn't he a paper delivery boy?
No. Billy Batson?
Yeah.
No, he works for Wiz Radio. He's a reporter.
He's a radio reporter.
Yeah, he gathers news stories and then reports them on the news.
Oh, okay.
And also Green Hornet. He works for a newspaper as well. Everyone works for newspapers, man. Yeah. It's the wave of the superhero future.
Don't forget Tintin.
There you go. Except who knows what he worked.
He worked for the magazine side of it.
Dave, we got to wrap up.
Okay.
All right. So do you want to take on the wrapping up?
Sure, I can do the wrapping up.
All right, please.
So let's just say, first, I just want to pass along some thank yous before we go any farther than that. I just want to just say, because we kind of talked around it when she was on the show, when Nina was on the show. Mm-hmm. But let's just say thank you, Nina, for the wonderful gifts that you gave us at our 200th episode. Super appreciate it. Mine is sitting at pride of place on the mantelpiece at my family home.
Mine as well, yeah.
At the estate. And also I want to thank Kathleen Gross for her great drawing of Time Horse.
Yay.
Janice and Time Horse, which if you haven't seen it, is on the website on the 200th episode post. I added that. I just did an update and put it on there.
And you also put a thing thanking Nina for her gifts as well, and put up a bit of a process post about how she did the sculptures.
Yes,
she did for us, as well as showing the drawing,
her original, that's
her original
right.
drawing for our 100th episode.
That's right,
which was an Al Jaffe style mad
Mad Folden. Yeah, which is great. So yes, those are both all there if you want to see them. Just because I thought it'd be nice to sort of gather them into one post. So and then you had posted some on Facebook. So if you don't feel like going to the website and you're on Facebook, you can see the post that you can see the process on, and it's interesting. I would like to do it too. I feel like I could think of something to make, but it's that super sculpy seems kind of fun. So if you want to contact us, here's what you do: you can follow us on Twitter at @SneakyDragon. You can @Sneaky_Dragon. I'm sorry. You can write to us at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. That's our website. You can go on to our boards. Is that what they call them now? Bulletin boards, comment places, Village Square, where we have a
they call it it's our key parties.
We have a town crier
because you go on the computer and use your keys.
Oh,
to
use
type.
Your keys exactly.
So
you just right.
Come, let's all gather around and let's have a key party.
That's exactly
at sneakydragon.com.
Love it. We're gonna change that name to Key Party. So come and join us at our key party, Sneaky Dragon Key Party, at sneakydragon.com. That's our website. And last but not least, you can also like our Facebook page, and we regularly post a bunch of garbage there as well.
We probably have a Tumblr as well, but who the heck knows?
We do have a Tumblr. I just basically use it as like a place where things get posted.
You just put pornography.
That's
what Tumblr's for.
You say that. I've never seen any on there. You know what? I'm a clean cut guy. I just follow cartoonists.
Okay, then Google clean cut guys and Tumblr.
I will do that. I will do that. What how works? Here's the thing. In our WordPress site, there is a plugin that's called Tumblr Cross Poster.
Okay.
And what it does is when I post on WordPress, it automatically posts onto the Tumblr site.
Okay.
And so don't even have to think about it, except for this problem.
All right. Here's what you should do. Google clean cut guys, Tumblr cross poster. See what comes up.
I will do that when I get home. Sure. I will immediately do that. And I'll watch whatever comes up. And so then, or read.
Imagine if your picture came up. Wouldn't that be a shocker?
It would be shocking.
Okay.
But it's not, really not actually, because I am a cross poster. So then, the problem is though, here's the thing that happened. It happened to Kathleen Gross. Because I didn't realize this, you know, because the 200 show was done a month ago or whatever.
Yeah.
So I had it done early. I had it edited and ready to go early. So I scheduled it onto the website. So I scheduled it to come out at sometime after midnight, some random time. Sure. I can't remember what it was. I think it was 12:52 a.m.
Sure, why not?
It posted. The thing was, though, is that it cross-posted to Tumblr right away.
Oh,
I thought it would also be scheduled, and when the two things came, so Kathleen, unfortunately, she posted. She's like, "Hey, I'm on the show," and she posted it like on Wednesday, and I was like, "Oh dear!" So people are just gonna get nothing for a couple of days until it finally comes out. But I'm not coming out on Saturdays because that is the day that we drop.
Okay.
Because then I can look at iTunes and to see.
All right. So what you want to do is you want to Google cross posters coming out clean cut guys
on Tumblr. Okay.
Just see what comes.
I will do that.
See what comes.
So
up.
You want me to look at cross posting coming clean cut guys White Sox.
Do you know what?
Tumblr.
You're just gonna get that YMCA video that I talked about
with the
earlier.
Boners.
That's what's gonna be.
Yeah.
That's gonna be our bonus episode.
Sure. And we'll get their Christmas song Macho Manger. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sneaky Dragon this week. We appreciate your listenership.
All right. Take care of yourselves.
Goodbye.
Bye. Giving the people what they want. Clean intros.